Let me draw your attention. If you'll find in your bulletins and look for this, my goodness, I may not preach today. I'm going to go home and cry. Look in your bulletins. One of the things you'll find in there is this Connect card. I usually say something about it later in the service. I probably will again today, but just want you to be aware of this, whether you're here for the first time or maybe you're here every Sunday. Just be aware of this. It allows you to give us some information. We're not going to come knock on your door or anything like that, but if you'd like to give us information, particularly your name and your email address, we can put you on our email, and that way, whenever we have something go out to the church, you'll be notified of that. And also, for later in the service, if you'll look over on the back side, there are some things you can write out, a prayer request, and also some boxes you can check that reflect a decision you might want to be making. So just be aware of that, hang on to it. And whenever you put something on here, the best thing to do is simply to put them in the white boxes around the church. If you forget, you can just hand it to one of the pastors. Pastors are the ones who get this. It doesn't go anywhere else but to the pastors, okay? I want to read a Bible verse with you. It's in Psalm 118, and and it says this: "In my distress, I called to the Lord. He answered me and set me free." You know, sometimes we think of when we're set free, it's kind of like an animal that's in a kennel. And when you come home, you open the doors and he's set free. But God sets us free in all kinds of ways. We're going to be looking at that today. "In my distress, I called to the Lord. He answered me and he set me free." We're going to pray together for these items now and as we get started in our time of worship. Father God, we thank you that when we call upon you, particularly when we feel distressed, you have promised that in a variety of different ways, you will set us free. Father, there are people in North Carolina, and you know every one of them by name, who are struggling right now, who are extremely distressed right now. And we pray, Father, that you would begin to set them free physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. Lord, they have needs that need to be met. We pray, Father, thank you for all of what we have here in our church right now. May you bless these to reach those in North Carolina who need them. Use these things, these supplies, to help set them free. Now, God, bless our time of worship. It is a time we turn over to you so we can bless you and thank you for your goodness and for who you are. And we pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's a new song, Jason, isn't it, for us? I just got this feeling that could have been sung by some old-timers at the Ryman Auditorium.
I did.
Is that? Oh, man. That's some good stuff there, man. I'm telling you, that was good stuff. You have your bulletins inside, among other things, is the outline for the message. I would encourage you to take that out now, if you will. I'm starting a new series today called Radical Living. When we hear the word radical, we think it means strange, over the top, excessive, something crazy. But actually, radical means of the root. It means rooted. It doesn't mean fanaticism. It means being grounded. From a Christian perspective, radical living means being rooted in living God's way. I want God to awaken in us a passion to live his way in every area of our lives so we can reach as many people as possible for Jesus, to teach them to live God's way so they can reach other people for Christ. and so on, so that people will know about God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness. To do that will take radical living, living our lives rooted in God's word and living in God's way. Maybe we need to get passionate again. Maybe life isn't about being comfortable or content. Maybe we're supposed to be different, be passionate, not lukewarm. Maybe instead of walking around and being normal, we're supposed to be radical. Maybe we're supposed to run. Maybe we're supposed to experience and practice radical living, living life God's way. So we're going to start this new series today by looking at radical freedom. Jesus said it like this in John 8:36. He said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Folks, Jesus did not come to make you religious. He came to make you free. What is radical freedom biblically? What does it look like if we are radically free in Jesus? Radical freedom is five things that we're going to look at this morning. Number one, radical freedom is a clear conscience. Colossians 1:14, Paul put this down when he said, "God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all of our sins." Paul said, all of our sins, all of my sins, all of your sins, all of the guilt of my sins are wiped away. All the things I've ever done wrong are forgiven and forgotten. They're not just out of sight. They are out of God's mind. He wipes the slate clean. Folks, this is good news. Aren't you glad that everything you've ever done wrong, nobody can ever see any longer, including God? You say, God, hey, come on, God, he's God. He can't forget anything. If he wants to, he can. He's God. And he's chosen to forget all of our sins. He wipes the slate clean. Now, why is that freedom? One reason is because doctors tell us that guilt, because of things I've done wrong, and resentment, that is because of things that were done wrong to me, are the two most destructive emotions in life. They burden you down because you cannot be guilty and happy at the same time. I saw a sign years ago on a gas station that said this: a clean engine gives more power. That's true with your conscience as well. The reason so many people are tired and fatigued all the time is because they're carrying a garbage bag of guilt. And God said a long time ago, let it go. Jesus paid for our freedom. He paid for it with his life. A lot of you have a picture in your mind that when you get to heaven, there's going to be this IMAX theater. And the movie that day is going to be your life, shown on the IMAX, that's full of people to watch everything you've ever done wrong. Every little secret, evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty thing you've ever done, starring you. And everybody else is going to just sit back with some popcorn and a Diet Coke, and they're going to watch what you've done. You're going to be incredibly embarrassed. You're going to feel all the blame, all the things for what you've done wrong. But I'm here to just tell you, just to remind you folks, that is not how it's going to be. It is going to be the absolute opposite. When you put your trust in Christ as your Savior, all of those things are gone forever. Because Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he took your punishment upon himself, and all of those sins, all of those wrongdoings, all of that guilt you felt is gone. He paid the price for you when he hung on the cross. So here's the question. Why do you keep blaming yourself and beating yourself up for stuff that God has already forgiven you for? What's the logic in that? Continuing to blame yourself for things Jesus has forgiven you is, in a way, insulting Jesus. What you're saying is what Jesus did on the cross when he died for you isn't enough. I need to punish me too. No, you don't. Radical freedom is a clear conscience. And folks, that's good news. That's good news. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you're perfect at all. It does mean you're forgiven. You need to embrace that and be free from a life of guilt and shame. Number two, radical freedom means personal access to God. It means personal access to God. When Libby and I have our kids and grandkids over, particularly the grandkids, it's interesting. Once they get used to our house, they've been used to it for years. We've been in that house, I don't know, 8 or 9, 10 years or something like that. I love it because the grandkids in the house, they come and they give us a hug, give us a kiss, and they know everything's good, and then they know where to go. If they want some sodas, they know to go to our bedroom because we have a little fridge full of sodas, and we put the little cans in there, and they know where to get it. The little girls, if they want to play a little makeup, they know where to get the makeup in Libby's bathroom. It's all right there. They know where the bubble gum machine is. We have a real, genuine bubble gum machine, and we even supply the quarters for them to get it. They know where to go. They know where the games are. If they want some alone time, they know what bedrooms they can go in. They have access to all of these things. The reason they have such full access to us and to our home and to all these things is because they're family. You bring your kids to our house, we're going to say, No, just kidding. Just kidding. We're not that way. But they're family. They're loved unconditionally. And they have access. Listen, folks, that's the kind of access you get when you become a child of God. When you become a believer, when you put your faith in Jesus, God gives you an all-access pass to him. 24 hours a day. And he also gives you an all-access pass to heaven one day. You already have it. You just haven't had to use it yet. But you will one day. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 3:12. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." We can come to God himself anytime, in any way, for any reason, and he will lovingly take all the time with us that we need. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then feel free to come before God's throne. Here there is grace, and we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it." How do you do that? How do you come before God's throne? You pray. You talk to God. You don't have to say special words or pray in any certain form or fashion. You just come to God. He's your loving Father. You just come to him and talk to him. That's called prayer. And by the way, inside of your bulletin, take this out. Did you see this today? Did you get this? We're starting now. Operation Christmas Child. If you've been with us or any length of time, we do Operation Christmas Child every year, where we send gifts literally all the way around the world. And in the process of doing that, the first thing we start doing is start praying. And this bookmark is also a prayer guide. And we want to ask you to start praying today, Sunday, all right? Use these as a prayer guide as we begin Operation Christmas Child. Start talking to God already to bless the kids and the families who are going to receive the gifts that we send them. So that's what I want you to start doing regarding that. So talk to God. Pray to God. No matter what you face, you can talk to God about it. Here's my question about this. Why don't you take advantage of this more often? Every prayer doesn't have to end in Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes you just need to keep your prayer running. You don't have to say amen and close it. Just keep it a running prayer all day long. Talk to God. Number three, radical freedom is the power to do what's right. Freedom is the power to do what's right. It's the power that God gives you to say yes to the right things and to say no to the things that you know you shouldn't do, that can mess up your life, that can be detrimental to your life. Let me give you an example. I received this story years ago. I want to read it for you. It says this. A gentleman wrote this. My parents were the typical liberated baby boomers that were probably hippies growing up. There weren't many boundaries in our home for me growing up. My dad thought he was being cool, allowing me to experiment with sex and even drugs. My sister and I were encouraged to find our bliss. We were encouraged to do whatever we felt like doing, all in the name of creativity and freedom. But by the time we were in our mid-20s, both my sister and I were really messed up and confused. My sister had had two abortions. I got AIDS. My new wife left me because I couldn't end my addiction to meth and porn. My so-called freedom wasn't freedom at all. It was a sham. On the outside, I appeared to be enjoying the fast life, but inside, I was enslaved to my own fears, my own insecurities, and my own compulsions. I needed somebody to free me from myself. That may not be your story, but you need somebody to free you from yourself in some area of your life. There are things you don't like about you that you've tried to change and you can't. If you could, you would, but you can't, so you don't. Radical freedom is the freedom that God gives us in His strength to change, to say yes to the things that are good for you, that are healthy for you, that build you up, that produce significance in your life, and to say no to the things that are self-destructive to you, that destroy your relationships and destroys your life and destroys your health and all these other things. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Your old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So what does that mean? Does it mean I won't sin anymore? Obviously not. We're not perfect yet. So what is it saying? That we'll be set free from the power of sin. It's saying that now I do have the power not to do it. Before, we didn't have any power not to do it. It was just me against all my insecurities, my addictions, things that I knew I couldn't give up on my own, my habits. But now, through Christ, we have the power with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have the power to say no. And hopefully there are some things that you've been able to say no to in the power of Christ. There are some things you used to do that you no longer do. Maybe you're still tempted. Temptation is not sin. Maybe there are some times you've had victories. I hope that's your life. That's part of your story of your life. You haven't overcome everything yet, but some things. And there's a fifth part of what radical freedom does for us. Radical freedom is no fear of death or the devil. Now, the fear of death is universal. It's a universal fear. The last time I checked the mortality rate in America, it's 100%. Everybody dies. We don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or in 50 years, in 100 years. We don't know, but the fact is, it's inevitable. God didn't put you on this planet to live here forever. Last time I checked, the oldest person on the earth was like 125 years old. We don't live old like they did in biblical days. They lived like thousands of years. I think it must have been better back in those days. I don't want to live 1,000 years here. That'd be kind of rough. God didn't put you on this planet to live forever. He wants you to trust Christ so you can live forever with him in eternity, which is a perfect place. But Satan creates this fear of death in human beings. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Jesus became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil. Only in this way could he set us free from living our entire lives as slaves to the fear of dying. This is the fear nobody wants to admit. If you were ever want to mess up a good conversation, invite your neighbors over for, you know, to grill out some burgers, and maybe afterwards have some homemade ice cream. You're in the house, sit around the couch, and just want to have some conversation with your friends, your neighbors, and all of a sudden just start up a conversation and say, you know what? Let's talk about death. Let's talk about dying. Bob, let me tell you, Bob, when do you think you're going to die? And just watch them wilt away. But everybody is going to face it. And the fact is, only a fool would go through life unprepared for what you know is inevitable. Jesus came and he said, I came to set you free from the fear of dying. And as a Christ follower, you don't have to fear death any longer. As a believer, when you die, you're not leaving home, you're going home. You're going where you meant to be for all eternity. And a lot of people even get freaked out by the devil and demons and the occult. I think it comes a lot through, I don't know how long zombie movies have been going on. I never got into the zombies and the Walking Dead, that kind of thing. It just didn't thrill me. But every once in a while, I would turn something on. I figured out why it didn't thrill me, because I didn't like watching people eating other people's faces and brains and stuff. But look what Colossians 1:13 says. God made us free from the power of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. We have no need to fear about those things. Radical freedom is a clear conscience. It gives you personal access to God. It is the power to do the right thing. It's living with meaning and purpose, and it does not fear death or the devil. That's radical living with God. So how do I do it? How do I live a radically free life? Let me give you three things. First of all, you always submit to God's Spirit. What does that mean? It means you're saying, Jesus, what do you want me to do now? Jesus, what do you want me to do in this situation? You're always surrendering, always submitting, always yielding to that still small voice. God's in charge, you obey. He wants the best for you. So you never have to fear obeying him. He wants you to grow. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. So you simply submit to him. And the more you let God's Spirit live in you, the more freedom you're going to have. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Paul did not say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's religion. He said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus did not come to give you religion. He came to give you freedom. He came to set you free. Now, this sounds good, but isn't this kind of power like for the top folks? Isn't this for like super saints, the really real spiritual people, missionaries, nuns, and stuff like that? No. This power is available to every believer everywhere. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 2:6. Jesus gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Circle that word, everyone. That includes you. It includes me. So you submit to God's Spirit. It was cool. Beach baptism. First one we've done here. There were folks who were willing to submit to the Spirit of God and go down into the waters of baptism. Take a look at some of these folks who got baptized. I don't know if we have them all. It was a great day. Was it not a great day? To see people saying, I'm going to submit to the Spirit of God. This is my first time to be baptized, or I want to do this for rededication, or I wasn't baptized by immersion, now I want to be. It was a wonderful day. So much so, we're going to do it again. January 1st, in conjunction with the polar bear swim at Folly Beach. I'm going to see how many of you are really serious about it. We are actually, there are a few more that couldn't make this baptism. We're going to have baptism here in the church. I'm not sure the exact date, but I think it's going to be coming up in the next few weeks. So that'll be good. Secondly, so you always submit to the Spirit of God. Number two, you always trust the truth. You always trust the truth. Whenever you doubt God's word, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. For instance, you know, God wants to bless your finances. He wants to give you what you need to have your needs met. God says, you need to put me first in your finances. And so God says, give me 10%. You give God 10%. You say, well, I don't want to give God 10%. Well, that's your choice, but he's not going to bless you as much as if you obey what he wants you to do. So you trust God. You don't trust your feelings. You trust God. You do what God wants you to do in every aspect of life. When somebody hurts you deeply, God says the truth is you've got to forgive that person. So you forgive them. You let it go. You don't hold a grudge. When you do that, you're only hurting yourself. Look what John 8:31 says. If you continue in my word, then you're really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The more you get God's truth in your mind and act on it in your life, the more free you're going to be. Act on God's truth, not on your feelings. Psalm 119, verse 45 says this, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought you out. I've sought out your precepts. Wouldn't you like it just to walk out and say, God, I walk about in your freedom. Wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to spend all day, today, tomorrow, walking about in freedom, not in worry, not in legalism, not in guilt, not in fatigue? I walk about in God's freedom. For I have sought out your precepts, your principles, God, your truths. David says, the key to my freedom is that I trust your truth. I live in your word. I submit to the Spirit of God. And number three, I always use my freedom to serve others. I use my freedom to serve others. The more you serve other people, the more freedom God gives to you, because he wants you to be unselfish, gracious, and a generous person. When you're free and you look around and everybody else around you is in slavery, what are you supposed to do? You help them. Maybe you've seen those shows where, you know, the Navy SEALs go in and they unlock the door of a prisoner who's been kidnapped. And then what does he do? The prisoner gets the keys and he goes down and he's unlocking all the other doors so he can let those prisoners out as well. Listen, when you understand the truth of God and you accept Jesus into your life and you get free from your sin, then you should take that same knowledge and understanding and do as you can for as many people. You give them what they need to unlock themselves through Christ and become free as well. Don't keep that key to yourself. Too many other people need to be set free. One of the ways we can do that, it's really simple, is just carry some of these Grace Point cards with you, little invite cards. On the back, it's got some information about the church. Just hand them out. Doesn't cost you anything. I don't think we put them in the pews, but there's some in the tables in the back. Aren't there, John? Right here. Some back here. And aren't they in the tables in the hallway? Yeah. So we didn't give them to you. You're going to have to work for it this time, okay? We're not baby feeding you. On your way out, on those tables, you'll find these. Take one or two. If you're really into it, take 10. And just hand it out to somebody. That's all you have to do. Look at Galatians 5:13. You were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. We're called to be free. Don't indulge it in yourself. Use that freedom to serve one another. Got your outlines? Turn them back over to the front. Look at that first verse again that we started with. John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The truth is, folks, many people aren't living free indeed. And then look at the next verse, Galatians 5:13. Freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. You see what happens even as Christians. You can't lose your salvation. You can never lose it. Nobody can ever take it from you. But we can fall back into our old ways. We can carry around the guilt of that sin, that trash, which will weigh us down. So what trash do you need to get rid of again, once and for all? Turn it over to God. Experience His freedom once again. Freedom for radical living. Let the Son set you free and keep you free. Let Him have all your trash, all your hurts, all your struggles, all your battles, all your pain, your dreams, your questions, your confusion. Give it all to Him. Be radically freed by the One who died to set you free. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank You for defining what radical living is all about. From the beginning of time, You wanted Your people, human beings, to be grounded, rooted in You. To love You, to follow You, to worship You. And way back in the garden, they fell apart. They chose to go their own way. And ever since that time, all of us have chosen to go our own way. Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross once and for all, that our sins could be forgiven. It was a radical way to win us back to you and to God. Help us, Jesus, to die to ourselves so that we can live to you. Help us, Lord, just to give all of our trash to you, not to fight over taking it back. Help us to live in your forgiveness and not to think that we have to earn it. Help us to be so moved by your grace that we can do nothing else but share that grace and forgiveness and love with others. Move among us today. Spirit, speak to us. Do something in our lives that we need individually, collectively as a church, during this time of response. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We give you an opportunity now to respond to whatever it takes for God to help you become, renew yourselves to Him so you can be radically free. If you'd like, we'll be down here in the front to talk with you and pray with you. If you'd like, you can come over to the cross. Maybe you need to write something on a piece of paper and just say, Jesus, I give this to you. Maybe you want to share in communion today. There are stations around the sanctuary you can do that with. Maybe you want to fill out a particular need, prayer, something that you're going through. On your Connect card, you can put that in the white boxes on your way out. Maybe you want to stay right where you are in your pew and pray or meditate. Whatever God's leading you to do, we want you to have a chance to do that. Jason and the band are going to play and sing. We encourage you to do what God wants you to do today, okay?
Jonathan said, is this all? Sure. There we go. Jonathan said I could sing.
Hey!
I need this song, guys. Is it on? Okay. John brought to my attention that I missed a point. Number four? Well, what I'm amazed about is that usually John sits back there and he's, you know, taking notes and stuff. But I found out one day I walked back there, he has a coloring book and crayons. So I'm really amazed that he got it. Let me give you number four, and I apologize. I don't know how I skipped over that. Number four was radical freedom is living with meaning and purpose. Those of you that feel a need, fill that in. And if you want, you can email me, and I'll give you the notes on that point. I'll be glad to, and I'll send you the whole message. I keep the manuscript, so just let me know. But that, if you needed the words, that's what goes there. We good on that? You good? Okay.
How many of you have already guessed those blanks? You got them. Look at that, man. Hey, I think we need to give Jonathan a hand for that. That's pretty good. There we are. So, you know, not only the coloring book and the crayons, but when we did the, during COVID over at Kevin Libby's house, we visited all those places that he talked about, didn't we? We had soft drinks and bubble gum, and he gave us the quarters. It was great. So, anyway, thanks again, folks. These items that you've brought in here, we'll do this again next week. And believe it or not, a lady's taking her carload or truckload up today. She was the photographer at a wedding I did on Friday. She said, I'm going up to Boone on Sunday afternoon. I said, well, swing by the church. We're going to have some stuff you can put in your vehicle. And tomorrow we'll take the rest on up to Georgetown, some folks taking. So thanks for that. Tonight, GPS, our youth meeting again. We're going to be at the Pickett's house. Now, these guys have volunteered their house every time we've met on Sunday night, so I'll give them a hand, first of all. I know there are other people that could have a group at their home, so we would love to get other people involved in doing that. If you'd like to help us out on that, let us know. And also, As Kevin said, begin to pray for Operation Christmas Child and James Island Outreach coming up at the end of the month as well. All right. And Steve, you in for the January 1st baptism? What do you think on that? If I go in first, I thought Kevin was leading the way. You know, that's what. Yeah, let's pray. Father, go with us now. Take this message of freedom. We pray that we will share this wherever we go, praying for the folks up in North Carolina and the mountains of South Carolina and Tennessee, all of those areas, Lord. We just lift up the needs that are there. Thank you that we can be a small part of that as we look to help. Lord, in looking around, there are people that are hurting right around us. Help us look for ways to help them as well. We love you. We thank you. Help us to take this freedom and joy as we go from this place. And we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.